If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. And if you need a Bible, we'd be glad to hand you a Bible. You can use one of those as you're here today, or even keep one of those, take it home with you. It's our gift to you. We're going to kind of get to Galatians 5 in just a second. A few years ago, a good buddy of mine, DJ Maxey, he's the preacher at the Eastern Pines Church over in Greenville. He and I have been friends since I was a freshman in college, and he was a couple years younger than me, but I met him while he was still in high school. And so we've been friends for a long time, and every once in a while for the last few years or so, we've tried to take a trip on our motorcycles during the summer. And one year we went up to Winchester, Virginia. We drove literally around the beltway around D.C. One morning. That was fun. And then over the Route 50 bridge over to the Eastern Shore, which is kind of where I'm from. But this year, a couple years ago, we decided to go out towards Charlotte and then over north up into Virginia to near Charlottesville, Virginia. I got a buddy who lives in Charlottesville. We were going to stay with him. We didn't do that all in one day, but we decided over the course of two or three days. But the last night we stayed with my buddy who lives near Lake Monticello, Virginia, sort of in the Fluvanna part of that part of Virginia. And my buddy Chris is a great cook, and his specialty is kind of a smoker, like a charcoal smoker. So I asked him if he would cook something for us when we got there. I said, hey, can we come stay with you? We're doing this little trek. And he said, sure. Now, this is not an advertisement for the fundraiser today, but he smoked some chicken. Like, there may be a theme for the whole day here today. And it's like it did when you walked in this morning. It smelled delicious. He brought it into the kitchen. He served it it wasn't like in pieces. Like, it was kind of like a big side of chicken. It was like half a chicken. I think the guys are preparing chicken quarters. I think that's right today. But my buddy Chris served it in chicken halves. He also made some corn on the cob. I think it was some homemade mac and cheese. I mean, it was a spread. I was excited. I was hungry. And he also had this sort of a side note. This actually happened. He had one of those fancy salt shakers. You know, I'm talking about like grinders. And I'd never seen. I'm used to the grinder that goes like this. You know, like you just kind of sprinkle it on a salt shaker, you know? But he had one of those grinders. Now, I had seen one of these at a fancy restaurant one time, and where you kind of do like this, you know what I'm talking about? And they'll grind it for you. Usually it's pepper, but this one he had this big salt. It was like this big silver salt grinder shaker. It wasn't a shaker. And but it wasn't. I tried to grind it, but it was automatic. So when I went to grind it, I actually opened the whole thing. And at the same time, because it opened, I didn't have a hold of it like I needed to, and it flew out of my hands. Now, Chris and his wife had just moved into a brand new house. They had built a house, and they had these beautiful dark walnut hardwood floors all over the house, the downstairs. And so here we are in this kitchen, dark hardwood floors, salt flies out of my hand, hits the floor. Like these big salt, it looked like the 4th of July salt fireworks in their kitchen, like salt everywhere. I guarantee you today I could go to his kitchen. This has been two or three years ago. I could go to his kitchen and find some salt somewhere. Like I'm just convinced that it's still in the nooks and crannies of his kitchen. And at the same time when all of this was happening, my buddy DJ saw it and he tried to help me and he turned around and his piece of corn flew off his plate into the floor. It was a salt and corn explosion. It was complete mayhem. I mean, it was all over the place. So I get a piece of chicken, and the chicken halves are, I mean, as big as my head. I don't know where these chickens came from. And I'm thinking, there's no way I can eat all that. You know, if you've ever been on a buffet or you ever looked at, you know, you go to somebody's house and they put some food in front of you, you're like, man, this is really nice for them to do all this work. But there's no way I can eat all this, right? And that's kind of what I was thinking. I was actually thinking I can eat all this, but I shouldn't eat all this, especially this late in the day. But it all looked so good. He put a lot of work into it. So I did, man. I sat down. I ate a half a chicken, a piece of corn on the cob, a big piece of corn on the cob, some mac and cheese. I don't know if he had dessert. I don't even remember at this point. I was in a comatose. And I literally, I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyway. I was up all night, literally. Like, I couldn't sleep. I was so full, I didn't sleep a wink that night. And then we had to get on our motorcycles and drive. I was so tired. Never been so sleepy. Luckily, on a motorcycle, you kind of got some distractions like tractor trailers and that kind of thing coming at you. Now, we've been working our way through Paul's letter to the Galatian church because there was an issue in this church. There were some who were trying to persuade the church that they had to keep parts of the Old Testament law in order to be a Christian. And I could kind of understand, and we've talked through sort of that mentality, how people who grew up in the Jewish faith and then got turned on to Jesus and were like, okay, he is the Messiah, but their whole lives have been sort of surrounded by these works of the law, right? And so I can kind of understand why they came to that conclusion, but Paul is sort of tweaked up about this. He writes this letter and says, it's not true. You don't have to keep going back to the law. Jesus sets you free from the law. Essentially, what Paul is trying to say in the book of Galatians is this: Jesus plus something equals nothing, right? If you have to add something to Jesus in your life, then you're going to end up, the equation equals nothing. All we need is Jesus. When we try to add to this equation our good deeds, or some works-oriented religion or performance-based system, then the equation just doesn't work out. All we need is Jesus. There is nothing else. There's no amount of good things that we can do that will make us more or less worthy of what Christ did for us. And so if that's true, that Jesus plus anything else equals nothing, then it's also true that Jesus plus nothing equals something. All we need is Jesus. No additives, nothing else needed. Jesus is enough. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how bad you think your life is, Jesus is all you need. So Paul wants the Galatian Christians to commit to being free from the Old Testament and its rules and its as a way to approach God. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Paul says, he starts this whole thought or continues this thought from chapter 4. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke or a yoke of slavery. Paul's argument is that through Jesus, we've been freed from the law, freed from the performance-based system. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Jesus plus something or anything equals nothing. We don't have to go back to that old system. There's not life in that old way. There's not relationship in the old way. The other thing I think Paul's trying to make in this passage we're going to get to today is this, that these two systems are in competition. They're diametrically opposed to each other. Right? You can't have a little bit of both. It doesn't work out. They're absolutely opposed to each other. Honestly, for the last couple of weeks, I've been racking my brain to try and think of a good way to describe how these two ways are opposed to each other. And yesterday, it came to me. Let's say you were the leader of a country. Let's just say Russia, for instance. And you were in control of everything in Russia. The economy, the military, social standards, everything, right? And one day, another military leader decides that he would be a better leader of the country, right? See how I made this up? And he rallies part of the military and even hires some mercenaries to help him. Let's say they're able to control a city and a military base, and they begin to march on Moscow. What's going to happen? There's going to be a conflict. Right, there's going to be this huge clash. Both leaders cannot lead at the same time, can they? The people will either side with the old leader or the new. They cannot coexist. Exactly the same when it comes to following Jesus. We have to choose one system or the other. It's either Jesus plus something, add whatever you want, your good works, your performance-based system, and what you're going to get in that equation is nothing. Or it's Jesus plus nothing, and you're going to get something. Let's read our passage today, starting in verse 13. See if we can kind of make head or tails of this. Verse 13 and following, Paul says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbors as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Arnold Toynbee said, "There is a perpetual struggle between love and conscience on the one side and self-centeredness and sin on the other side." Right? Paul is calling the Christians in Galatia to freedom, not self-indulgence. Right? We have freedom from the Old Testament law, but we should not use that freedom to indulge the flesh. The word Paul uses here is the Greek word sarx. And it literally means flesh or stripped of skin. Like it's a literal, this is talking about flesh, right? And so for a long time, most English translations of the Bible use the phrase sinful nature instead of this more clear, I think, translation of flesh. Now, John Calvin argued that we were born in total depravity without the opportunity to choose right and wrong. And that our sinful nature was such that we were not given the opportunity to choose. We were born into this. We inherited sin. However, we ended up that way, but we were totally depraved coming into this world. See, I believe that we're born with the opportunity, maybe even the propensity, or the we're inclined to sin, but we do get to choose. I think it's an important distinction to make. For instance, I knew that I should not eat that entire plate of chicken, right? But my desires got the best of me. Paul says, you have freedom, but don't use that freedom to indulge the flesh. So indulging the flesh is about instant gratification, right? We see something and we have to have it right now, no questions asked. Too good. Too instant, too pleasureful. I can't resist. So freedom in its most widely applied definition means doing what I want, when I want, where I want for me. But Paul warns that freedom is not self-indulgence. In fact, it must not be used to indulge the flesh. See, our flesh tries to make those things the center of our lives. The flesh tries to make those desires and elevate them right now, and that's actually elevating the temporary over the eternal. You follow? Let's keep reading. It'll make it more clear. Remember, Jesus plus something equals nothing. Verses 16. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So living to please the flesh is the most natural thing we do. We will always choose to gratify our flesh unless there is some sort of outside force or duty that demands that we do otherwise. But these are two opposing systems. It's either Jesus plus something and it equals nothing, or it's Jesus and nothing equals something. Did you notice the one command so far in this passage? Actually, it's the only command in this whole passage. Paul says, walk by the Spirit. Right, if you will do that, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let's keep reading. What are those? Verse 19 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious." Let me just stop right there. I'm not going to go too far into this list and describe all of these things. We know what they are, don't we? Paul says they're obvious. when we're going to step into the flesh, when we're getting ready to do the things that gratify the flesh, the here and now, the instant, the temporary, we know what they are. I don't have to parse every one of these and tell you exactly what each of these means. You can look them up later if you don't know. Some of them are a little difficult. But we know in our lives when we are gratifying the flesh and not the spirit. Paul says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a pretty stern warning, right? Against indulging the flesh, saying yes to the temporary. I want you to notice something. All of these are impulsive, aren't they? They're all about instant gratification. What's in it for me right now? And they all lack discipline. See, God wants us to live by the Spirit. That means saying no to the flesh. That means saying no to the instant, the impulsive. The flesh refers to the man limited by his physical constitution, right? By his will, his culture, his moment in history, the impulses of biology stimulate the senses, the instinct for self-preservation, the drive for power, the lusts for self-satisfaction. Doesn't that describe our world? That's in direct opposition to those of us who are trying to live by the Spirit. So to resist our own propensity to indulge in this to the point of destruction, we're going to need help. We're going to need supernatural help. Freedom apart from the Spirit is actually not possible. Can you indulge in those things? Yes. Can you go down that road? Can you live for the instant? Yes. But that's not really freedom, because guess what? At the end of each of those is bondage. You take those things to their fullest extent, it looks like addiction. It looks like marriage has gone bad. It looks like overweight. It looks like out of control, doesn't it? Freedom apart from the Spirit is not possible. People like Freud and Karl Marx and B.F. Skinner, others like them may argue that man can never be truly free of those forces. That, in other words, we can never escape our humanness, but the Apostle Paul offers a divine rebuttal. When you live by the Spirit, you can be free from those things, from the bondage. So what we're talking about in general terms is whether our worldview is better than those who do not have a Christian worldview. And I don't say that in a superior way. I'm just saying we got two opposing systems. It's either Jesus plus something equals nothing, or it's Jesus plus nothing equals something. We would say deny those urges to gratify the flesh and lean into the desire to live for something greater than ourselves. Deny ourselves, right? Take up our cross and follow Jesus. Specifically, we're talking about living for God, living for and by God's Spirit. See, I think that if you spend enough time studying the Bible, you'll find a way to live that's better. I truly believe that. You could go to the Bible and look at the principles in the Bible, right? And you could find a way that it has depth and meaning. But let me just also say that if that's all you're looking for, you're still going to come up empty. See, living by biblical principles means nothing if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And let me just say, I want you to, you know, sort of dial into these principles. I believe with all my heart that it's better to live by the principles in God's Word than it is by the principles of this world. I believe our system is better. I believe that what Jesus did for us frees us from all those bondages. But it doesn't mean anything if you don't know Christ. The first step is to put your faith in Jesus and be baptized. We saw an example of our teenagers setting that example for us today. See, the opposite of the legalism and rule following, if you take it to its full extent, is self-indulgence, right? We're free. We don't have to do those things anymore. We don't have to keep the law. But now all of a sudden, we just go too far and we'll do anything we want to do. Now, next week, we're going to finish this passage and look at the other equation. But this morning, I want us to think about this first equation. Jesus plus something equals nothing. The harder we try to work things out on our own, the less we actually gain. The more we lean into gratifying the flesh, the further we are actually from freedom. Three quick things. First of all, our freedom should not be used for the flesh. Again, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. I love what Tim Keller said. He said, we underestimate how our present behavior and our present living is determined by what we believe our ultimate future will be. Did you catch that? If we really believe there is life in Christ and that there is a heaven to gain, and that's our... ultimate future, then that will dictate how we live today. We don't live to serve and in the spirit and do these things to gain anything. We do them because we believe in our ultimate future in Christ. We're not trying to earn our salvation, but we will want to live by the Spirit, not gratifying the flesh. I knew that eating that whole plate of chicken was going to be detrimental to me. I did it anyway, didn't I? I indulged the flesh. I went to the instant. It's so good right here, right now. But if I'd been more disciplined, I could have had several meals, right? I could have put that in the fridge and taken it home and had several. Instead, I was up all night and miserable. See, we're drawn to the instant. We're drawn to self-indulgence. That's the flesh in us. But God doesn't want us to use our freedom that way. Secondly, if you feed the Spirit, it means you're going to have to starve the flesh. Paul says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. There's an old Cherokee story. One evening, an old Cherokee grandfather told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, my son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The grandson thought about it for a minute and then he asked his grandfather, which wolf wins? And the old Cherokee simply replied, the one you feed. All right, there's a lot of truth in that. It's very similar to what Paul is saying here in Galatians chapter 5. God wants us to feed the Spirit. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Just remember that they're opposed to each other. You can't have a little bit of one and a little bit of the other. And finally, the flesh and spirit are opposed, right? Verse 17 says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you're not to do whatever you want, right? The problem that Paul anticipated here in Galatia was, I'm freeing you from the law, but that doesn't mean you can go into self-indulgence. You've gone too far because these systems are opposed. If you feed or indulge the flesh, then you're starving the spirit. They cannot coexist. We were to say no to the flesh. Paul says, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Remember, verse 1 says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So we have freedom in Christ, but that freedom is not to be used to indulge the flesh. A few weeks ago, I was on Glen Burnie, stopped at a light. Imagine that. And the car in front of me had a bunch of stickers on it, right? And sometimes, I'm bored. I'll read what other people's stickers are. A lot of times I don't want to pay attention. But this time it kind of caught my attention. And this person, I don't even know who it was. I didn't see who was driving. I was kind of behind them. They had everything they had to do, or at least part of what they had, the stickers they had on, had to do with like witchcraft, stuff like that, and the occult. Some of the things that were on Paul's list earlier, right? And I've always thought when I see things like that in our culture, or people who are wearing T-shirts or bumper stickers, or I see making a bold statement about, living for the devil or serving Satan, I've always thought, well, what if you're wrong? What if there is a God? You're going to have to face him one day. And I don't know why, but for some reason this time I thought, what if you're right? What if Satan is real and you meet him one day? I don't think it's going to work out like people think. If we continue to indulge the flesh, and I don't just mean something so specific like witchcraft. I mean all of the impulsive things that we get drawn into, all of that instant gratification, it's not going to work out very well. Because Jesus plus something or anything, it's going to equal nothing. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for our church family here. Thank you for all those who've come before us and helped us in this way. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to become all that you've created us to be. And Lord, I don't mean just our existence here in this world, but I mean who you've created us in Christ to be. And Lord, when we're drawn away from your spirit into the flesh, we are not living up to our full potential in Christ. When we think we can add things to our walk with you, Lord, help us just to remember that all we need is Jesus. Lord, help us not to indulge our flesh. Lord, just help us to keep in step with the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.